Hare Krishna. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Happy Shivratri to everyone. Today on this special day, an auspicious festival of Shivratri, we have His Grace Amarinda Prabhu chanting us on the topic of glories of Lord Shiva. Hare Krishna, Amarinda Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining and giving your valuable time and association this morning. We are very fortunate to have you on the call. Please take over the call, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Will there be welcoming the devotees and we have class after that, or we get started immediately?
We get started.
We'll get started. Okay. Gurave Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meelitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kada Mahiyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shramate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Krishna Chaitanya Ishwaram Vrindavana Vanipate Jaya Soma Soma Maule Sanandana Sanatana Naradetya Gopishwara Braja Vilasi Yugangri Padme Prema Prayachha Nirupadi Namo Namaste Shankar Bhagavan ki jai, Shambhu Mahadev ki jai, Shivratri Mahamahotsav ki jai. Today is a very, very auspicious day to all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas around the world. This is a very special day because the dearest servant of Radha and Krishna, Gopeshwar Mahadev, Lord Shiva, is being celebrated. His lotus feet is being worshipped today around the world as the Shivratri Utsav. In fact, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Srila Sanatan Goswami Pad has said that all Vaishnavas, and very specifically for all of us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the followers of the six Goswamis, it is of paramount importance to observe this day of Shivratri and hear the glories of Lord Shiva. It's very, very important to hear about the Supreme Lord is the greatest fortune. Vayam hi dhanyatama loke kuropi kshatra bandhava vayam pibamu hutvatta punyam krishna kathamritam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Canto 10, Chapter 12, especially the section of the Aghasur Leela, where the very big serpent, not Kaliya, but Aghasur, was delivered by Krishna. So we can see in that section, Maharaj Parikshit, the primary listener of Srimad Bhagavatam, he offers his gratitude to Shukadeva Goswami. And he says, Vayam hi dhanyatama loke. In this world, I consider ourselves, starting with myself, Parikshit Maharaj is speaking on behalf of all the personalities on the assembly who are listening on the banks of the Ganga to Harikatha. Maharaj Parikshit mentions, Vayam hi dhanyatama loke. In this world, we consider ourselves to be the most fortunate. You see, there is dhanya, dhanyatara, and dhanyatama. Just like in English, we have a simple sentence, then we have a comparative sentence, then we have the superlative sense, right? We have good, better, and best. So similarly, there is dhanya, dhanyatara, and dhanyatama, which means fortune, more fortunate, and most fortunate. So what does the word dhanyatama mean? It means most fortunate. The superlative sense has been used. So Maharaj Parikshit mentions that I consider myself to be most fortunate. And please note, when the 10th canto was spoken, it is about the 5th day out of the 7 days that Maharaj Parikshit has in his life. He was cursed by the son of Shamik Rishi to die in 7 days by a snake bite. The snake Takshak would be the cause of Maharaj Parikshit's departure. So Shringi cursed Maharaj Parikshit. And out of the last 7 days that he has, there are about 4 days already done, and he is in the 5th day hearing the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, so he has only 2 more days, which means, let's say if it's Friday, then by the end of Sunday, it's time to depart. So we, at least talking about myself, if I have to die on Sunday, and if you ask me how I feel on Friday, I won't say, thank God it's Friday. I will say, oh God, it's Friday, right? As people in the outside world, they say, oh God, it's Monday. And thank God it's Friday, right? But if, let's say, I have to die on Sunday, I will say, oh God, it's already Friday. But Maharaj Parikshit, when he was asked by Shukadev Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit mentions, Vayam hi dhanyatama loke. He doesn't say, I am fortunate or more fortunate. He says, I consider myself to be most fortunate. Why? Vayam piba muhutvatta punyam krishna kathamritam. He mentions that the definition of fortune is coming in contact with a devotee. This is fortune in our life. Because we take so many lifetimes, and we get married, and we have babies, and we have homes, and we have jobs and money. And then without any purpose, without any agenda, without any goal, we are born and then we die, right? Mark Twain very famously remarked, there are 2 days very prominent in a man's life. One is the day when he was born. And the second, when he realizes why he was born. So most of us celebrate the first day, which means our birthday. But by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, many fortunate souls like us, we get a chance to even celebrate the second day, the day we realize why we are born, which means the day of coming into Krishna consciousness, our first program, first contact with the devotees, etc., right? So fortune means coming in contact with the devotees. More fortune means getting a chance to hear Harikatha from them. This is more fortune. Because we can meet a devotee at a bus station or a train station. That's also fortune. But getting a chance to sit at their lotus feet and hear Harikatha from them, oh, this is more fortune. And most fortune is when we are on our departing bed, on our deathbed, and Vaishnavas are sitting next to us and speaking Harikatha and singing Harikirtan. So Maharaj Parikshit says, out of these 3, I am the most fortunate category because I'm about to leave. And I get chance to associate with thousands and thousands of Vaishnavas here on the banks of the Ganga, hearing Harikatha from Shukadev Goswami. So I am not ill-fortuned, but I am actually most fortunate. So the point is, getting a chance to hear about Krishna and getting a chance to hear about pure Vaishnavas is the matter of great fortune in our life. Lord Shiva was asked by Mother Parvati, of all kinds of worship, which worship is the best? And Lord Shiva mentions, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Of all kinds of worship, the worship of Vishnu is the highest. But Mother Parvati, in her heart, she was thinking, but I don't worship Lord Vishnu. In my heart, I worship Lord Shiva because he is my husband and he is my guru and he is everything for me. Because for a chaste woman, a man who is highly qualified, very devotional, very compassionate, and abode of all good qualities, who is a very fixed up devotee. If the man is like this, following the spiritual master who is bona fide, and the man is completely surrendered to the process of bhakti, and if the wife is completely chaste to the man, then both of them go back home, back to Godhead together. This is perfect grihastha success story. The woman doesn't have to do anything. Her path is very simple. She simply has to assist the husband and completely, lovingly be loyal and chaste to him. That's all. She will get more credit by this than even independently trying to chant japa. if she's chanting one or two lakhs every day, but if she's not respecting her husband, not that the husband must be like Ravan and expect that the wife should be like Sita. No, we are talking the husband should be high class and the wife should also be first class. And if this is together, then it's perfect success story. So in the case of Mother Parvati and Lord Shiva, that is true, because Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava and he's the greatest personality. And Mother Parvati was thinking in her heart, oh dear Gurudev, oh dear Lord Shiva, I am asking you what kind of worship is the best, and you're telling me the best worship is the worship of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. But in her heart, she was thinking, but I don't worship Lord Vishnu, I just worship you. So what about that? And Lord Shiva, understanding the heart of Mother Parvati, completed the verse with the next two lines. He said, Tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. Oh Devi, the highest worship is the worship of Vishnu. But however, greater than the worship of Vishnu is the worship of the pure Vaishnavas. So he doesn't say my worship, but he hints that greater than the worship of the Supreme Lord is the worship of his pure representative. So Mother Parvati got the answer in her heart. So similarly, today being Shivaratri, the most auspicious occasion of worship of the lotus feet of Mother Parvati and Lord Shiva, all of us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we get a chance to congregate together and hear Harikatha. But Harikatha in connection to Harakatha. There are two words. Hari is Krishna, is Vishnu. Sri Ram is called Hari. Narsingadev is called Narahari. But Hara is the name for Mahadev, Lord Shiva. Why? Because Hari and Hara both come from the same root, to take away. What do they take away? Vishnu takes away, or Krishna takes away our heart. Hari Shabda Nana Artha Dui Mukhyatam Sarva Amangala Hare Prem Diye Hare Man. Our Sachinandan Gaur Hari has given everything. Whenever in Siddhanta or Rasavichar there is any consideration of how to interpret, then we go to the teachings of Sachinandan Gaur Hari, Sriman Mahaprabhu. And he has taught everything. Very specifically in the section of Chaitanya Charitamrit, where Sriman Mahaprabhu has given 61 meanings, elaborations on the Atma Ramas Chamunayo verse. There the last line goes, Ittam Bhuta Guno Hari. So elaborating on the word Hari, in that context, Sriman Mahaprabhu, he says that the word Hari has many meanings, Nana Artha, but two prominent meanings. One is, he who takes away everything inauspicious. And the second is he who takes away our heart in loving service. That is Krishna. So what does Lord Shiva take away as Hara? Oh, he takes away all the obstacles on the path of a Vaishnava to bring us close to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So therefore, if there is someone who claims to be a Vaishnava, a devotee of Krishna, and if they displease Lord Shiva, and worst, if they neglect Lord Shiva, and if they criticize and blaspheme Lord Shiva, forget it. We are not going anywhere with this. We are not going anywhere with this. But on the other hand, if we want to be a very good Gaudiya Vaishnava, if we want to be a very good servant of Krishna, then we should take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Shiva and pray to him that, oh Hara, oh Shambhu Mahadev, oh Gopeshwar Mahadev, oh Sadashiva, whatever obstacles are there on my path in attaining the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, you please kindly take it away so that I can reach my goal very quickly. Somebody can ask this question, why so much stress is given on Lord Shiva? Why not anyone else? Right? Why is it that we should pray to Lord Shiva very specifically? Because there is, according to Siddhanta, there is a very deep meaning why. This world is called Bhavasagara, the ocean of material existence, right? Many times we may have heard this word, Bhavasagara, Bhavasindhu, Bhavabdi, Abdi, Sindhu, Sagara, they all means ocean. And Bhava means material creation, right? The word Bhava in Sanskrit has a very specific meaning. We may have heard this word before. Chiranjeevi Bhava, Saubhagyavati Bhava, which means to become. And this world is called the world of becoming, Because nothing is constant. You become born, you become old, then you become diseased, and you become dead, and then you become reincarnated. There's constant change. The only thing that is constant is change. And the word bhava means to become. Because the bodies are constantly changing and becoming something or the other, this world is called the ocean of becoming, right? Bhava Sagar. But apart from this, the word bhava is actually the name of Lord Shiva. The word bhava is actually a name for Lord Shiva. And because this world is under the protection and care of Shiva and Mother Parvati, they are the parents. Many times we may have heard that Mother Parvati, Durga Devi, Katyayani Devi, Kali, Chandi, Bhadra Kali, all these forms of Mother Parvati are called as Amba, which means mother, Mata. You've heard this term? Like, she is our mother. Why? Because she is the Prakriti. She is the material nature. And all of us are children. And so if she's the mother, who is the father? Lord Shiva is the father. So Lord Shiva is the father. And because we live in the house of the father, the house is named after the father. So this is called Bhava Sagar. This is the ocean belonging to the father. That is Lord Shiva. And because he is Bhava, Mother Parvati as the wife of Bhava is called Bhavani. We may have heard this word. Mother Parvati is called Bhavani. Gatistvam, gatistvam, tomeka Bhavani. We may have heard this very famous set of prayers glorifying Mother Parvati. So she's called Bhavani. Why? Because she's the wife of Lord Shiva and he's called Bhava. Now please note, we are trying to answer this question as to why special importance or significance of Lord Shiva is there in our life. In a conditioned state or in a liberated state, we are very, very closely connected to Lord Shiva. We mentioned reason number one because we are all children, right? We are all, there is Ishwara, then there is Maheshwara, then there is Parameshwara, and then there is Sarveshwara. I'll repeat. There is Ishwara, then there is Maheshwara, and then there is Parameshwara, and then there is Sarveshwara. Right? So what does this mean? All the demigods are Ishwara. They're all controllers. But greater than them, the greatest among them is Maheshwara. Mahan Ishwara iti Maheshwara. Right? He is Maheshwara means he's Mahan Ishwara. He is the greatest controller. So all the demigods are Ishwara. Lord Indra and Brahma and Varuna, everyone. Vayu, Agni. They're all Ishwaras. They're all controllers. They control the Panchamahabhuta, the earth, water, fire, air, ether, elements. Prithvi, Jal, Akash. All these elements that we see are controlled by the demigods. So they are Ishwara. But greater than them is Maheshwara, Lord Shiva. And greater than him is Vishnu, who's called Parameshwara, as the super soul in everyone's heart. And the root of all creation. Yadavanam Shiro Ratnam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Oh, he who is the root of all the fruits that we see here in this world, that is Krishna. Ete Cham Sakala Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So if all the demigods are Ishwara, Lord Shiva is Maheshwara, and Vishnu is Parameshwara, and Krishna in Vrindavan, he who cries under the Shakat because he's hungry and thirsty, oh, he's Sarveshwara. He's the root of everything. The son of Mother Yashoda, the Lord of Shrimati Radharani, Gopinath, Radhanath, Brajanath, Vrindavan Chandra Shri Krishna, Rasaraj Shamsundar is the root of everything. So he's Sarveshwara. So we are trying to answer this question that why there is specific significance of Lord Shiva in our life. So reason number one we mentioned, because we live in this material world and the controller of this jail-like material world is Durga. And so therefore she's the mother and Lord Shiva is the father. So we are children and he's our father, and therefore there's direct connection. But apart from that, there is a very subtle connection that each one of us have with Lord Shiva. Am I going too fast? Is everyone understanding?
Yes, Prabhuji. Perfect.
Okay. Okay. because I am coming here for service. I don't want to confuse. So please note something very subtle, the connection that all of us have with Lord Shiva. Why are all of us bound in this material world? Why is the situation such that we are all bound in this material world? There's a very specific reason. Krishna bhuli jeev se anadi bahirmukh. Atha eva maya tar diya samsara dukh. That as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, janasya krishnat vimukhasya daivat adharma shilasu dukhitasya anugrahayeha charanti nunam bhutani bhavyani janardhanasya. Canto 3, chapter 5, Bhagavad. Apart from that, Krishna bhuliya jeev bhogabancha kare nikatastha mayatar jhapatiya dhare. Chaitanya Charitamrita. As soon as we forget Krishna, we turn our face away from Krishna. What happens? Maya holds us. And when Maya holds us, we are given a covering called false ego. And that false ego keeps us in this world. Nothing else. It's only false ego that keeps us in this world. Now, what mode is false ego in? Is it goodness? Is it sattvagun? Is it rajogun? Or is it tamogun? It is tamogun. False ego, to think that I am better than others, to think that I am actually the source of all intelligence, to think that I am the object of everyone's respect, to think that I am greater than everyone else is faulty. Till the time this is there in the heart, we are going to be here. Our stay in this material world is permanent residence. We have passport of false ego. We can live here for as long as we want. Our visa will never expire, right? So it's the visa of false ego which keeps us in this world, permanent residency. So how do we understand this? You see, because the mode of ignorance is the controlling manner, because it's false ego that's keeping us in this world, and false ego is a symptom of mode of ignorance, right? So it's actually mode of ignorance which is the cause of keeping us in this world. Who is the Lord of mode of ignorance? Oh, it is Lord Shiva. So what actually is happening, that when someone turns their face away from Krishna, it is Lord Shiva who goes and embraces that person. It is Lord Shiva who goes and covers that person, because Lord Shiva thinks, I want to bring this Jiva back to Krishna. If he turns his face away from Krishna, he will be in illusion. He will suffer. And Lord Shiva immediately goes and embraces that person. Lord Shiva covers that person automatically. Now, because Lord Shiva is the predominating Adhishtatri Dev, the worshipable deity for the mode of ignorance, and the symptom of mode of ignorance is false ego, as soon as one turns their face away from Krishna and they're covered by Lord Shiva's mercy, the person is covered with false ego. And Lord Shiva, because Mother Parvati is his wife, he naturally loves her company. Lord Shiva enjoys Mother Parvati's company. So when someone is covered by false ego, they get that same desire of enjoying this material world, because that's the nature of false ego. And because false ego is in the mode of ignorance, and that is under the department of Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva's quality is to enjoy this world, because he is naturally the husband, he is the lord of Prakriti. But we are not. So when we get covered by false ego, we start thinking, I want to lord over this world. All of this is meant for my enjoyment. All of this is meant for my fulfillment, for my satisfaction. But because we are not Lord Shiva, we get frustrated, because that's not our position. So false ego keeps us in this world for lifetimes after lifetimes, so that we get the kicks of this world and we finally turn our face towards Krishna. Now, when we turn our face towards Krishna and we start performing bhakti, Lord Shiva thinks, mission successful. The person who had turned his face away from Krishna, now he is turning his face towards Krishna. So actually what happens? Since the mission is about to be completed, Lord Shiva withdraws the mode of ignorance away. And as the mode of ignorance is withdrawn, the false ego slowly starts getting dissolved and the person becomes humble. And when the person becomes humble on the path of bhakti after turning to Krishna, he no longer desires to enjoy this world, because that influence, that covering of false ego is taken away. So this is how closely we are connected. All of us are connected to Lord Shiva. Because as soon as we turn away from Krishna, it is Lord Shiva who, out of his causeless mercy, covers us with false ego. And then we develop the desire to enjoy this world. Again, Lord Shiva does this so that in Hindi, there is a saying, Lato ke bhoot baato se nahi mante. So much can be said to the living entity. Don't leave Krishna. Don't turn away from Krishna. But if the living entity wants to enjoy this world and turn away from Krishna, then Lord Shiva will give some punishment. So through false ego and giving us repeated troubles in this world, when we finally get frustrated that apart from Krishna, I have no other destination, Lord Shiva says, wonderful. Now you turn your face towards him. The living entity turns towards Krishna. As he turns, Lord Shiva withdraws the mode of ignorance. As he withdraws the mode of ignorance, the covering of false ego dissolves. The natural swayameva spuratya, the natural quality of the soul to be humble, to serve the Vaishnavas, to serve Krishna, manifests. And to the extent that manifests, the desire to enjoy and control this world is gone. And therefore, by the mercy of Lord Shiva, every conditioned soul turns towards the lotus feet of Krishna. Not because of any other kripa, only by the mercy of Lord Shiva. Only by the mercy of Lord Shiva can we turn towards Krishna. How wonderful is this, right? Did everyone understand? The primary understanding that we are the children and Lord Shiva is our father. We are in the Bhavasagara, the ocean of this material world, which belongs to Lord Shiva. That's one, as a collective reason why we worship Lord Shiva. But individual reason, each one of us, we turn towards Krishna only by the mercy of Lord Shiva. When he showers mercy, everything is possible. So this is the introduction. Now we will get started in our discussion, welcoming the occasion of Shivaratri in our heart. This is very, very important. We can see in the Padma Puran, Sanat Kumar, one of the four Kumaras, Sanak, Sanatan, Sanat Kumar, and Sadananda. These are the four Kumaras. So the four Kumaras together are called Chatush Kumar. Sometimes they're also just called Sanaka Sanatana, like that. So Sanat Kumar, out of the four, in the Padma Puran, he describes the 10 offenses to the holy name. What we chant every day, one, to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord, etc. That's actually the English to the Sanskrit, which is found in the section, in a specific section of the Padma Puran, where the Sanskrit for the 10 offenses, Dasha Nama Aparad, is described. So in that, the second Nama Aparad, the second offense to the holy name, is worth noting in this regard with respect to Lord Shiva. So I request everyone, at least those who are my friends, to be very, very attentive now. We are entering a zone of complete, attentive, focused, concentrated, dedicated hearing. The second offense to the holy name in Sanskrit is chanted as Shivasya Shri Vishnor Ya Iha Guna Namadi Sakalam Dhya Bhinnam Pashyet Sakalu Hari Nama Hitakara. Shivasya Shri Vishnor Ya Iha Guna Namadi Sakalam Dhya Bhinnam Pashyet Sakalu Hari Nama Hitakara. This is the Sanskrit for the second offense. What does it mean? We'll go word by word. Shivasya, which means Lord Shiva, and Shri Vishnoho, and Lord Vishnu. Ya iha guna nama adi sakalam. With respect to both Lord Shiva's and Lord Vishnu's guna, qualities, nam, name, form, etc., which means their names, forms, qualities, pastimes, abode, etc. About all of them, sakalam. Dhya, with our intelligence, Bhinnam Pashyet. If we see them to be different, if you see Lord Shiva and Vishnu to be different, Sakhalu Harinama Ahitakara, then such a person is certainly an offender. Now, this seems to be exactly opposite of what we have heard. We have always heard, if you see them as same, then it is an offense. But you're saying if you see them different, then it is an offense. Well, both of them are true. How do we understand? Shivasya Shri Vishnu Shiva and Lord Vishnu, ya iha guna namadi sakalam, with respect to their name, form, qualities, pastime, etc., dhiya bhinnam pashyet. Now, focus on this word dhiya bhinnam, which means dhiya with one's intelligence and buddhi, bhinnam. If you see them different, pashyet, then it is an offense. But at the same time, if you break it differently, dhiya bhinnam can be understood as dhiya plus bhinnam, which means if you see them different, bhinna, then it is an offense. Or it can also break as dhiya plus abhinnam, which means to not see them separate, which means to see them the same. If you see them as separate, then it is an offense. Or, and if you see them same, then it is an offense. So this is the complete understanding of the second offense. Shivasya Shri Vishnoho ya iha guna namadi sakalam dhiya bhinnam pashyet, which means dhiya bhinnam, seeing them different, or dhiya abhinnam, to see them same, pashyet. If you see Sir Khalu, then indeed that person, harinama ahitakara, he is performing, or he's committing an offense at the lotus feet of Harinam. Which means if you see them different, if you see Vishnu and Shiva to be different, it is an offense. And if you see them same, oh, then also it is an offense. Then what should we do? Should we see them as same or should we see them as different? This is why in the English, very beautifully it is translated. After the Vaishnava Parad, to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their life for propagating the holy name of the Lord as the first offense. Second is to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Brahma to be equal or independent or different, then it is an offense. So very beautiful in the English, it has been reconciled. Srila Sanatan Goswami, to save all of us from this Nama Parad, because there'll be people who will think that they are the same and that's an offense. And there'll be people who will think that they're different and that's a Nama Parad. And with Nama Parad, Bahu Janma Kariyadi Shravana Kirtan Tabutana Paye Krishna Pade Premadha. We can perform a Nama Parad for lifetimes, but we will not go anywhere with that. So to protect all of us from this Nama Parad, Srila Sanatan Goswami in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, he has mentioned as a rule that Vaishnavas should observe Shivaratri and hear the glories of Lord Shiva that day. Shiva Tattva is actually very, very complicated Tattva. Very complicated. Some say he is Vishnu and some say he is not Vishnu. Some say he's the best Vaishnav. Some say he's a demigod. Some say he is in the role of destruction, Tandam Nritya. Some say he's the creator. How do we understand? It's a very, very complicated, very complex tattva. Of all the tattvas, of all the philosophical truths, the identity of Lord Shiva is very difficult to understand. But today we will try to hear with a very open heart. I know the pastimes of the Lord are very tasty and very easy to absorb. We will come to that, but for a few minutes, we will hear some Tattva Siddhanta, because there is so much confusion in the Vaishnava community about the identity of Lord Shiva. So without establishing very firmly, Siddhanta Baliya Chitte Nakar Alas, Iha Hoite Krishna Lage Sudrida Manas. So skipping the identity of the personality, skipping the complexity in the Tattva Siddhanta, how can we completely and truly relish the pastime? So for a few minutes, we will hear some Siddhanta. And then after that, we'll have some Leela Katha. Please note, first and foremost, Lord Shiva in his highest manifestation, in his first manifestation, in his most divine, transcendental, spiritual manifestation, he's called Sadashiva. This is the first level of Shiva Tattva, the highest manifestation in the spiritual world. He's called Sadashiva. He has his planet way beyond the material sky, beyond the material world. And he's worshipped there eternally by his loving associates. Those who worship him as Sadashiva, they know him to be Vishnu Tattva. He's eternal. He is non-different from Vishnu. They see him as Bhagavan. And naturally, those who worship Shiva as Sadashiva, as the direct manifestation of Vishnu Tattva and see him as Bhagavan, what do they do whenever they come to any Shivalinga in this world? They will see him as none different from Vishnu, as Sadashiva. And they will also see the Shaivites as Vaishnavas, because Vishnu, and they are seeing Lord Shiva as Vishnu Tattva, then naturally the followers of Sadashiva, Shaivites, they will see them the Vaishnavas will see the Shaivites also in this vichar, in this drishtikon, in this vision. They will see them also as Vaishnavas. All of the Srila Sanatan Goswami has defined very wonderfully in Hari Bhakti Vilas. So, Sadashiva is Vishnu Tattva. This must be clear. He is the eternal manifestation of the Lord. He has a planet of his own, the spiritual world. And it is this Sadashiva who appears as Advaita Acharya in Gaura Leela. He's called Advaita Acharya. Acharya because he's teaching by personal example. And he's called Advaita because he's none different from Mahaprabhu. He's Prabhu and Mahaprabhu is Mahaprabhu. But they're non different. Advaita. He's completely non different. Sadashiva, just like he's Vishnu, similarly Advaita Acharya, completely non different from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if you see this Sadashiva to be different from Vishnu, then it is Namaprad. This should be understood. Because he is eternal and he is Vishnu Tattva, Dhiya Bhinnam Pashyat. If you see them separate, if you see this Sadashiva to be different from Vishnu in any way, oh, then it is Namaprad. It is like saying that I respect Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but I don't consider Advaita Acharya to be as great as Mahaprabhu. Because he's the cause of the appearance of Mahaprabhu. So as far as Sadashiva is concerned, if you see them different than Vishnu, then it is Namaprad. This expansion of Sadashiva is also a very great devotee. He teaches bhakti. He teaches bhakti to Krishna. And Krishna is the origin of all Shaktis and all Aishwarya. So therefore, the Sadashiva, he should not be seen in any way to be different. But at the same time, we should understand that there is difference. What is that difference? Krishna is the source of all Aishwarya. He's the source of all inconceivable qualities. He's the source of all Madhurya. And Sadashiva, although he is non-different from the Supreme Lord, he can be seen equal in all respects. Srila Jiva Goswami explains this very specifically in the Bhakti Sandarbha. And I want to come and bring our attention back to the second Namaparad. Srila Jiva Goswami points out, Shivasya Shri Vishnoho Ya Ihan Gunanamadi Sakalam. We have chanted this verse before, the second Namaparad. Srila Jiva Goswami very specifically in the Bhakti Sandarbha, he points out that if you hear carefully, the honorific title of Shri is given for Vishnu, but not for Lord Shiva. The verse goes as Shivasya Shri Vishnoho, which means the word Shri is going for Vishnu as the honorific title. Because if it was meant for, if they were equal in all respects, then it will be Shri Shivasya Shri Vishnoho, or it will just be Shivasya Vishno Cha, as Shiva and Vishnu, without honorific titles to either or to both if they're equal. But we can see that there is a specific difference pointed out. Shivasya Shri Vishnu. The honorific title Shri is given to Vishnu, but not to Shiva. This Srila Jiva Goswami has pointed out. Also, we can see that in the Vishnu Sahasranam, when Lord Shiva is being invoked as the speaker, the word used is Shri Ishwara Uvacha. And when Krishna speaks, then the word used is Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. So the difference in titles of Ishwara and Bhagavan has also been maintained throughout the Vishnu Sahasranam, which was actually spoken by Bhishma Dev to Yudhishthir Maharaj. This has been compiled in the by Veda Vyas himself. So that honorific difference is seen not just by Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha to Padma Puran of Sanat Kumar, that Shiva Se Shri Vishnu, they are giving a difference in the honorific title, but even Bhishma Dev is using the word Ishwara and Bhagavan. So we must understand that Sadashiva, the first level of Shiva Tattva, he's Vishnu Tattva only. He's Vishnu Tattva. He's eternal Lord. He's Bhagavan. But yet at the same time, just like Krishna is the source of everything, Krishna is the origin for all Aishwarya and all Madhurya, we cannot say that Sadashiva is the same. So therefore, we could say that he's equal, but yet at the same time, there is difference. So this is the first level of Shiva Tattva. Now let's move to the second level of Shiva Tattva. This manifestation is called Shambhu. The first manifestation is called Sadashiva. The second manifestation is called Shambhu. As far as Shambhu is concerned, the definition goes straight into the Brahma Samhita. Our beloved Param Pujipad Bhaktisharu Swami Maharaj was so attached to Brahma Samhita. Yesterday, I was hearing from one devotee that Srila Bhaktisharu Swami Maharaj used to inspire the devotees to chant the Brahma Samhita. And in fact, even take initiation vows that I would chant 16 rounds every day, 25 rounds on Ekadashi, and also I will recite the Brahma Samhita. So, and Maharaj has given series of classes also on the Brahma Samhita. The Brahma Samhita is a very important text. Our Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has commented on the verses of the Brahma Samhita, the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita. So in the Brahma Samhita, the very famous verse, Kshiram yatha dadi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahi tata prakatasti heto yahasham bhutam api tata samupaiti karyat govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajam. So in this verse, Lord Brahma himself is speaking the identity of Shambhu. Now this is the second level of Shiva Tattva. He explains that Kshiram yatha dadi vikara vishesha yoga, just like milk, when it comes in touch with a curdling agent, automatically milk becomes yogurt. But similarly, Govinda, Krishna, for manifesting this material world, has come in contact with this material world as Shambhu. So Shambhu is not equal to Vishnu Tattva. This we must understand. Srila Jiva Goswami has commented on the Brahma Samhita. And in this section, Srila Jiva Goswami explains the example of milk and yogurt is significant, but it has boundaries. We must understand. The significance is milk can become yogurt, but yogurt cannot become milk. Srila Jiva Goswami explains this. He explains that similarly, Vishnu or Govinda can manifest the form of Shambhu, but in no way can Shambhu become Govinda in Vrindavan. This must be understood. Also, just like milk on being curdled becomes yogurt. So it's not that there is some transformation of Govinda from one to become Shambhu. There's no transformation. It just shows, Srila Jiva Goswami has written this in the commentary, that milk and yogurt, it must be understood that just that the yogurt is, milk is the source for yogurt. That is the understanding and not vice versa. So similarly, this verse or this analogy or this metaphorical explanation is to mention that it is Krishna or Govinda who is the source of Shambhu and not the other way. So Vishnu Tattva is that Tattva which never comes in contact with material nature or material energy. So it's actually an expansion of Vishnu who comes in contact with material energy for creation, and he's called Shambhu. This is the specific understanding. So it's an expansion of Vishnu, we can say. He's not Vishnu Tattva, but he's an expansion specifically to come in contact with material energy for the purpose of creation. This is very important. Actually, Srila Jiva Goswami has commented many technical details in this regard as to what the Vikara Vishesh is all about. He has explained, but in the interest of time and also to reduce the complexity, we will not talk about the four energies and the four aspects of Vikara Vishesh that Srila Jiva Goswami has very beautifully described. So we can explain Shambhu Tattva, the second level of Vishnu Tattva, with an example. We can understand Krishna or Vishnu to be a power generator. And all the jivas in the body of Mahavishnu, we can consider them to be an electric current. So from the power generator called Vishnu, the jivas in the form of the electric current are manifesting. But the power generator cannot directly come in touch with the different devices, or let's say the electric bulbs that we have at home. Right. So so first let's put the pieces of the example together. The power generator in our example is compared to, Vishnu is compared to the power generator. The jivas in the body of Vishnu are compared to the electric current. The electric bulbs that we see are connected to Prakriti or material nature. So just like a power generator cannot directly, you can't just bring him next to an electric bulb. It doesn't work like that. The electric current must flow through copper wires. And that's how the electric bulbs will be lit. So similarly, the creation takes place in a very beautiful way. Vishnu as the powerhouse of all electricity, or let's say in this case, as the powerhouse who's having the electric current called as jivas, gives the jivas to the copper wire manifestation called the Shambhu, who carries the glands of Vishnu in the form and all the jivas in that glands and gives it to Prakriti or material nature, who is the electric bulb. So the electric bulb gets the electricity through the wires. So basically it is Prakriti Devi or Parvati Devi or Durga Devi, who gets all the jivas impregnated in her womb of this material world through the copper wires called Shambhu, who is the intermedium connecting Prakriti and Vishnu. So Vishnu is the power generator, powerhouse, and Prakriti is the electric bulb, and the electric current of the jivas is going through the copper wire called Shambhu. So this example or this analogy could be given. So let's say we see a Shivalinga in this world. What are people worshipping? People are worshipping a linga. They're worshipping the Shambhu manifestation, the second manifestation, because he is the cause of the creation of this world. So everyone goes to a Shivalinga and they're worshipping Shambhu. They're actually anyone and everyone. If you see they're going to a Shivalinga, they're worshipping that manifestation of Shiva, who has created this world. That is why a linga is being worshipped, right? This is important to note. So they are worshipping Shambhu as the creator of this world. Now, if you consider this Shambhu to be equal to Vishnu, the source of everything, oh, that is also Namaparadha. Understand? So this is how the context of Shivasya Shri Vishnoho Ya Iha Guna Nama Adi Sakalam Dhiya Bhinnam Pashyet. Sa Kalu Harinama Ahitakara. So in this way, if you see Sadashiva, Gopeshwar Mahadev to be different than Vishnu, then it is an offense. And if you see the second manifestation, Shambhu, to be equal to Vishnu, because he's an expansion, if you see him equal, well, then it is an offense. So this is why it is important to note that the difference consideration is for Sadashiva. So he is actually Vishnu Tattva. And if you see him different, then it is an offense. And the oneness consideration is for Shambhu, the second manifestation, because he's an expansion. And if you see him one with Vishnu, then it is an offense. Therefore, dhiya abhinnam pashyet. The verse has very beautifully said dhiya abhinnam and dhiya abhinnam pashyet, considering Sadashiva and also Shambhu. So this could be understood. So now the question could be, when we go to a temple and we see a Shivalinga, are we seeing Sadashiva or are we seeing Shambhu? How should we worship? Oh, it completely depends on the bhava of the devotee. Completely depends on the bhava of the devotee. If you worship him as Sadashiva, as the eternal Lord, then he will bless you like Gopeshwar Mahadev. He will bless you. Ye yatha mam prapadhyante tam statayiva vajamyaham. As we have bhav, yadrishi bhavana yasya siddhir bhavati tadrishi. The verse says that depending on how you see Lord Shiva, he will reciprocate. I'll give you a parallel example. Let's say you see Tulsi Devi in this world. Tulsi Devi. If you see her as a plant, well, then she will just be a plant for you. If you see her as a herb and you use Tulsi leaves for medical purposes, well, then all that she will do for you is cure diseases. That's all. And if you see her as, oh, she's Tulsi, married to Shaligram Srila, then what will happen? Oh, she will take you to Vaikuntha because she's called Tulsi as the consort of Shaligram in Vaikuntha, not in Golok. The name Tulasi comes from Vaikuntha up to this material world. But in Golok of Vrindavan, she is Sakhi. She's called Brinda Devi. So if you see her as the forest goddess of Braj, who brings in the meeting of Radha and Krishna, and that Brinda Devi has manifested in the form of a plant so that we can get Braja Prapti, the attainment of the mood of Braj, then that same Tulsi Devi will give you the abode of Vrindavan. Is this clear? Gangeya Champeya Tadid Vinindi Ruchi Pravahas Napitatma Vrinde Bandhu Kabandhu Dhyutiti Vyavaso Vrinde Namaste Charanaravinda. So as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we see Tulsi Devi. We respect her, of course, as the consort of Shaligram. But that's Vaikuntha Bhav. For those who want to enter Braj Bhav, we have to see Brinda Devi as Tulsi Devi as Brinda Devi, as the Adhishtatri Dev, as the predominating presiding deity of Vrindavan. She's the queen of Vrindavan. She's very, very dear to Radha and Krishna. So we pray. Therefore, you see how wonderfully Srila Prabhupada transcendentally dragged us to this conception without telling us all of this tattva. He has given, Srila Prabhupada has given this. Why? Because what are we praying in the Tulsi Arati? Namo nama Tulasi Krishna Prayasi, namo namaha Radha Krishna Seva Pabo E Abhilashi. It is not Lakshmi Narayan Seva Pavo E Abhilashi. It is Radha Krishna Seva Pavo E Abhilashi, which means we are praying to Vrinda Devi. Radha Krishna Seva. I want the service of Radha Krishna. Je tumar sharanaloy tara vancha purna hoy kripa kori koro tare Shri Vaikuntha Vasi Vrindavana Vasi. So we pray to Tulsi Devi as Vrinda Devi, that you are the forest goddess of Vrindavan. So please take me to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And even in the last, the whole song can be discussed, but the last line also says, Shri Radha Govinda Preme Sada Jena Bhasi. I want to just swim and float in the waves of ecstasy in the oceanic love of Shri Shri Radha Govinda. And this is why we are praying to Tulsi Devi, because she's the plant manifestation of the forest goddess Vrinda. So therefore, if you take the dust at the root of a Tulsi plant, this is equaling Brajraj, the dust of Vrindavan. Because Tulsi doesn't grow anywhere outside Vrindavan. And wherever she is growing, that is Vrindavan. So the point where she meets the mud, her roots are there. That dust there, right there, is the dust of Braj. How wonderful. So similarly, just like Tulsi, depending on how we approach her, either just as a plant or with medicinal values, or as Tulsi Shalikram, or as Brinda Sakhi, she will reciprocate. So similarly, when we see a Shivalinga in this world, if you worship him as Gopeshwar Mahadev, as Sadashiva, the eternal resident of Vrindavan Dham, then he will give you Vrajaprapti. He will give you the attainment of Braj. In Sankalpa Kalpadruma, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has sung this very beautiful prayer. Vrindavanavanipate jaya soma soma mole sanandana sanatana naradedhya Gopishwara Vraja Vilasi Yugangri Padme Prema Prayacha Nirupadi Namo Namaste. Srila Chakravarti Thakur is an eternal manjari, a maidservant of Radha Govinda. Why will he offer prayer to Lord Shiva? Oh, because he's praying to Sadashiva. He's praying to Gopeshwar Mahadev. What is he praying? Oh Shivji, oh Gopeshwar Mahadev, I have only one desire in my heart. What is that? Those two lotus feet of Radharani and the two lotus feet of Krishna, who were walking close to each other in the forests of Braj, performing very sweet, attractive, intoxicating pastimes. May my two feet also walk behind them in loving service. Hanatha Gokula Sudakara Suprasanna Vaktrarvinda Madhurasmita He Kripardra Yatra Toya Viharate Pranayai Priyarat Tatraiva Mam Apinaya Priya Sevanay. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami has also prayed this, that, O Radharani, O Shri Krishna, please give me one benediction, that wherever you go, you will drag me to serve you. In whichever forest you both walk, don't just walk alone, walk with me. You take me behind you so that if you need anything, I'm always there. I'm always there to offer the umbrella. I'm always there to spread the lotus petals and the rose petals on the floor so that your feet are walking on top of them. I'm always there creating fountains on the sides. I'm always there giving tambu, beetle to eat. I am always there bringing nice, sweet beverages. I am always there to make arrangements for the swing festival and the boat festival. I am always there spraying very intoxicating scents depending on the mood of the pastime. I am always there singing songs and fanning you with affection. So similarly, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has prayed to Gopeshwar Mahadev that my only desire is, please give me love. Please give me service at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Sadashiva, O Gopeshwar Mahadev, there's nothing else that I want. So this is the prayer we can also offer. So we finished two levels of Shiva Tattva. There's one more, and then that finishes the Tattva. Then, as I promised, I will speak some Leela Katha. So the third level of Shiva Tattva, that third manifestation is called Rudra. We may have heard this word before, Rudra, as one of the names. There is actually a Rudram in the Vedas, glorifying Lord Shiva. So when the time of dissolution comes in, 11 Rudras manifest, and they perform their Tandavan Nritya, and they destroy the whole creation. So when we have heard that, oh, Lord Shiva opens his third eye, oh, Lord Shiva, he dances Tandava, and the whole world gets destroyed. Oh, that's not the first. That's not Sadashiva. Because he has nothing to do with this material world. He's in the spiritual world. And it's not Shambhu who's creating. Why will he destroy something that he's creating? His service is to create. It's the third manifestation of Lord Shiva, and he's called Rudra. He is in charge of the time of dissolution and destruction. In fact, some texts describe, some scriptural texts describe, that if we follow Varnashram Dharma very nicely and strictly, perfectly, for hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes, then we can take the position of Brahma. And then the text continues that if we follow the duties of Brahma properly, then we can attain Rudratva. Please hear this attentively. Not becoming Rudra, but we can attain Rudratva, which means not to become Rudra, but to attain the qualities of Rudra. That's called Rudratva. Nija nikata nivasam dehi govardhanatva. Please give me the quality. Oh, Govardhan, please give me your qualities. Govardhanatva. Sattva. Right? Tattva. Which means, or similarly, Rudratva. Which means not Rudra, becoming Rudra, but having the qualities of Rudra. So these 11 Rudras who are in charge of destruction, they have associates. And all of their associates, they have the qualities of Rudra. So which means if we follow Varnashram Dharma properly for hundreds of lifetimes, then we can become Brahma. And if we do the duties of Brahma nicely, we can attain Rudratva, which means we can become one of the associates of the 11 Rudras. And we can assist in the dance of destruction. And we can help Rudra destroy this world. Although this is possible, this is not recommended. This is not recommended. What is recommended? Instead of dancing Tandav dance for Rudra, we can dance Tandav dance in the dance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is recommended. We can dance in the dance of divinity. But however, this is a possibility. We can attain Rudratva. That's not our ambition. Our ambition is to become a servant of Lord Shiva, praying for Vaishnavatva. Vaishnavanam yatha Shambhu. Bhagavatam describes Nimnaganam yatha Ganga, Devanam achyuto yatha, Vaishnavanam yatha Shambhu, Purananam idam tatha. Of all the worshipable personalities, Krishna is the topmost. Of all the flowing rivers, Ganga is the topmost. Of all the readable shastras, revealed scriptures, Bhagavatam is the topmost. Similarly, of all Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is the topmost. So therefore, as far as tattva vichar, as far as philosophical conclusion is concerned, we come to the end of our discussion as far as tattva is concerned. Now we will start Leela. So to quickly wrap up, we mentioned three terms for Shiva tattva. You mentioned Sadashiva in the spiritual world. You mentioned Shambhu in source of in connection with creation. And we spoke about Rudra as the destroyer. So if somebody sees a Shivalinga, they can see him as Rudra. They can see him as Shambhu. They can see him as Sadashiva or Gopeshwar Mahadev. Our recommendation as Gaudiya Vaishnavas is to see him as Gopeshwar Mahadev, as Sadashiva, the eternal associate of Radha and Krishna. So now let's hear some Leela Katha. Kirtida Sundari Mataji, is it okay if I go a little over time today?
Yes, Prabhu, definitely.
Okay, thank you, Mataji. So please, everyone, let us dive deep into some Leela Katha now. The Leela Katha is based on the phrase Vaishnavanam Yathasham. We will hear many short aspects about Lord Shiva, which prove that he is the best among Vaishnavas. Let's hear. So once upon a time, Narad Muni was traveling around the world, around, in fact, the whole creation, the whole universe, searching for the best devotee. We know this from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And eventually he came to Lord Shiva. And he said, oh, best devotee, oh, giver of bhukti, mukti, and bhakti. You can give material enjoyment. You can liberate somebody from material enjoyment. And you can even give them bhakti. Oh, dear friend of Krishna. Oh, meditator on Sankarshan. You are certainly the best devotee in the whole of creation. Lord Shiva, he bowed down to this proposal in embarrassment. And he said, what to speak of best devotee? Lord Shiva said, I am not even a devotee. I am not even a devotee. What to speak of best devotee? How did Ravana become powerful? How did he terrorize everyone and kidnap Mother Sita? Lord Shiva said, because I benedicted Ravana. I benedicted and gave so much power to Ravana that he could take Sita away from Ram and give so much pain to the heart of the Lord, Sri Ram. He was crying, Sita, Sita, Sita. How can I even be a devotee? What to speak of best devotee? I'm not even a devotee because I am the source of all pain given to the heart of Sri Ram. Oh, Narada, I live in a crematorium. I rub ashes all over my body. I have snakes around my neck. I sit on tiger skin. I scare everyone with my trishul, my trident. And to add more trouble, all of my associates are bhuta, preta, and pishacha, which means ghosts and hobgoblins. Scary personalities. Please don't believe Lord Shiva. He's speaking out of humility. We will reconcile all this. But he's the nature of the Vaishnava is such that he's only seeing faults in himself. Vaishnava is like that. He will only see where I am going wrong. He has no time to hear the faults of others and the good qualities of himself. So Lord Shiva, what can we speak about? He's finding faults in him where there are no faults, actually. To continue, Lord Shiva then said to Narad Muni, you know, when Krishna wants to fulfill some desire or some act and no one wants to do it, he sees, where is Shiva? Where is Shiva? The services that nobody wants to do because they're not good services. It's not good. The things that nobody will do, Krishna knows, oh, Shiva will do. He gives the example. In the churning of the milk ocean, poison came out. The whole world was burning. And Vishnu is thinking now what to do. Shiva, please drink this. And Lord Shiva, he sipped it. He sipped all the poison manifested in this cosmic creation. And he sipped it, but he sipped it in a very special way. He didn't swallow it down his throat. And nor did he spit it out. He held it and kept it in his neck. And therefore, he's called Neelakanta, the one with a blue throat. Or he's also sometimes called Kalakanta, bluish black complexion throat, because he held the poison there. Actually, Lord Shiva is teaching us something very important. Very, very important. What is the most deadliest poison in this world? What is the most dangerous poison in this world? It's not cyanide. It is Vaishnav Ninda. It is the criticism of Vaishnavas. Yesterday, Param Pujipa Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj was explaining how Ramchandra Puri, couldn't understand his senior godbrother Ishwara Puri. He even couldn't understand the bhav of his guru Maharaj Sripad Madhavendra Puri. And later he found faults even with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He saw so many ants around and he said, oh, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's eating too much sweets. That's why these ants are here. Actually, ants are there everywhere in Jagannath Puri. But Ramchandra Puri, he criticized so much. But Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj very beautifully explained. He didn't get afflicted with cholera or leprosy. You see the example of Amogha, he got cholera. You see the example of Gopal Chakravarti, all of them got leprosy because they criticized Vaishnavas. But you see that Ramchandra Puri, he did not. All of them had envy towards Vaishnavas, and as a result, they got this illness in their body. But Ramchandra Puri did not get any cholera or any leprosy. And Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj said, why? Didn't the Lord punish him? Well, the Lord punished him with a disease way more deeper than that. And that was, he became a critical fault finder. What actually happened is, Maharaj explained, that initially he was such that he would see faults where there were faults. But then as a result of finding faults with Vaishnavas, he now got the disease on a subtle platform, not the disease of the body in the form of cholera or leprosy. He got the disease of the heart, which means now he was seeing faults even in places where faults didn't exist. That's a disease. Imagine if you see the whole world red when it is not, there's something wrong. Similarly, when you see faults in places where there are no faults, that's a problem. That's a disease. Maharaj explained, Ramchandra Puri was afflicted with the greatest disease. And the greatest disease is to find faults with Vaishnavas. Therefore, our motto in life is Vaishnavera Gunagrahi Nadekhai Dosh Kaya Mana Vakya Kare Vaishnava Santosh. What does this mean? Vaishnavera Gunagrahi. We should always, at all times, in all circumstances, endeavor for only one thing. I only want to collect the good qualities in others. And na dekhai dosh. We don't want to see the faults. Well, Shukdev Goswami has said, Kaler dosha nidhe rajan, this Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. So if you start counting the faults, our whole human life will go only in counting faults where there are faults and also in places where there are no faults. So by practice, we will get good at what we practice, which means we will get good at finding faults. But we will not find Krishna. Because he is beyond faults. So if you just count the faults, you'll never get him. But our motto is Vaishnavera Gunagrahi. We want to collect the good qualities. Na dekhaye dosh. And we don't want to see the faults. Kaya mana vakya kare Vaishnava santosh. Through words, through mind, and through activities, we only want to give pleasure to Vaishnavas. Whoever has whatever fault, let them have. We don't care. Anybody who has shampoo while they're washing their hair, you know, it's just a temporary phase. You stand under the shower, all that shampoo will go away. The hair will become clean, right? The roots of the hair will become strong. So similarly, seeing faults in Vaishnavas is like seeing shampoo on the head. By the shower water of bhakti, very soon all of them will go away. But by collecting all of that, our heart has become contaminated. So coming back to Lord Shiva, by drinking the poison, not swallowing it and not spitting it out, he has taught all of us a very deep lesson. The greatest poison in this world is not cyanide, but it is Vaishnav Ninda. Vaishnav Ninda. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he had a vrat. This is described in Ante Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 13. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. He had a vrat. He had a vow. What was it? When someone comes and criticizes Vaishnavas, oh, this person is like this, that person is like that. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami used to shut his ear and he would say, hey, stop. They are all doing Hari Bhajan except me. No criticizing. This was the vrat of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has very beautifully described Vaishnavera ninda karma na padikane. Never will the bad activities of any Vaishnav get into his ear. Sabe Krishna bhajan kari ei matravan. He would only consider that everyone is doing Hari bhajan except me. This was the vrat of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So our Shivji is teaching us that the greatest poison in this world is Vaishnav ninda. So if we get a chance ever to drink this poison, due to inconceivable bad fortune, let's say somebody just jumping the bad qualities of a Vaishnava into us, Lord Shiva is teaching us, what should we do? Yes, we drink that poison, but we don't take it inside. We don't swallow it, which means we don't accept it. We don't take it to heart. And we don't spit it out, which means we will not tell others what we heard. So you just let it pass. Understand? This is the first proof why he's Vaishnavanam Yathasham. Not just because materially he's drinking poison to save everyone, because he's teaching the whole world. First of all, no Vaishnav criticism. But if at all we ever get the ill fortune, the misfortune of hearing it, then we hold it in the throat. Get it in, but not to the heart, which means we don't believe it. And we don't spit it out and contaminate others. So Lord Shiva started saying to Narada Muni, Lord Shiva started telling that this is my situation. I'm drinking poison. That thing that nobody is doing, that I will do. So how am I dear? Why am I dear to the Lord? I am actually very fallen. I am the worst person. Lord Shiva started saying. Then he started telling Narada Muni. So many people, they were worshipping Bhagavan. Not to please him, but to take material benefits out of him. So Vishnu started thinking that so many are worshipping my lotus feet. And they're worshipping my lotus feet, not to please me, but actually to gain some material benefits out. So Vishnu started thinking, all of these personalities with mixed agenda who are worshipping the lotus feet of Vishnu for material benefits, they're also passed off as Vaishnavas. People say they're also Vaishnavas, but Vishnu thought to himself, they're all mixed in the Vaishnav Sampradaya. So we must actually separate them and put them in a different compartment or a different sampradaya, in a different line. So Vishnu started thinking and contemplating. I want someone to go into this material world and remove all of these people out from the Vaishnav Sampradaya and make a different Sampradaya of their own. I want someone who can go and preach a philosophy, something very different from the conclusion of the Vedas. I want someone to go and preach that Jiva, who is Anuatma, small fragment, is actually equal to Parabrahman, is equal to the Supreme Lord. This is completely against, this is bogus. This is not Vaishnav philosophy. Why is this is not Vaishnav philosophy? Because if the Jiva, Atma, is the same as Paramatma, and the two become one, then whom are we serving? Which means if we become Bhagavan, and we become him, and if it is no two, then there is no service between the two, there is no love between the two, then what is the meaning of being a servant? Which means saying that I am God means I am not his servant, I am the enjoyer, I don't have to serve, there is no love, prem tattva out of the window. You see? So to think that I am God is actually the opposite shore of Vaishnav philosophy. So Vishnu started thinking, that which is the highest conclusion of the Vedas, which is Krishna bhakti and Krishna prem, should be taken out. So that those who don't want bhakti, they will all get filtered out. I want someone to mix this and give the philosophy that Jiva and Parabrahman are the same. But nobody wants to preach this. Everybody wants to preach the right philosophy. Everybody will come down as acharyas and preach the conclusion of the Vedas. He said, I want to do this service. I want someone to do this service, but no one is ready. Let me think whom to send. And Vishnu started contemplating Shivji. That service that nobody will do, Shivji will do. So Shivji started telling Narada Muni, what kind of servant is this? He's coming down in this world and preaching. And we all know it was Shivji who came down as Adi Shankaracharya. And he preached the Advaita Vedanta. So he's telling Narada Muni that when God wants to preach the right philosophy, he sends everyone. But he thinks of me only when the opposite things has to be done, preaching against him. So how can I be dear in any way? How can I be dear in any way? It's not possible. I cannot be dear in any way. Then Shivji continued, you know, Narad Muni, I want to tell you another thing. Jayadrath, the brother-in-law of Duryodhan. Duryodhan's sister was married to Jayadrath. So Jayadrath was the husband of Duryodhan's sister. So Jayadrath was the brother-in-law for Duryodhan. So one time, now into the pages of the Mahabharata, the Pandavas were living in Kamvan or Kamyavan in Vrindavan. And Draupadi came to fill water on the banks of Vimalkund. And Jayadrath, although he was married, he got attracted to Draupadi. And he put his chariot down and ran to Draupadi, picked her up and put her in the chariot. And he started fleeing. He started going very fast on the chariot. And that time is very related to Narad Muni, because it was Narad Muni who came to that scene at that point. And he went and told the Pandavas. Especially he went and told Bhimsen. Because Narad Muni knows whom to go and give what message. So Narad Muni went to Bhimsen. Bhimsen is always hungry and thirsty for battles. So Narad Muni went and told Bhim that, you know, Jayadrath, he has abducted, kidnapped Draupadi and put onto his chariot. Bhimsen did not even get onto the chariot. He didn't even jump on the chariot. He started sprinting after Jayadrath to kill him. Arjuna also came there. And with weapons, Arjuna destroyed the chariot and dragged Jayadrath. Jayadrath let go of Draupadi. Arjuna told Bhim, you take care of Draupadi, I will take care of Jayadrath. Bhimsen agreed. He took care of Draupadi to protect her. And Arjuna bound Jayadrath like an animal. Bound Jayadrath like an animal. And he got him at the lotus feet of Yudhishthir Maharaj. Now, Bhimsen and Arjun, Draupadi, they got Jayadrath to Yudhishthir Maharaj and asked Yudhishthir Maharaj, oh brother, you please give us permission to kill him. He's a monster. You know, he was lustily eyeing our wife. Bhim also wants to kill him. Arjuna said, I also want to kill him. Yudhishthir Maharaj, you please, oh dear brother, you please give us permission. Yudhishthir Maharaj said, you ask Draupadi. She was the one who's offended. So you consult her as she was insulted. You'll see what Draupadi says. So then when they asked Draupadi, Draupadi's heart is that of the mother. So she said, no, we should not kill Why? Because her wife, Jayadrath's wife, who was like our sister, because we know Pandavas and Kauravas are brothers. So the sister of Duryodhan is like the sister for Draupadi. So Draupadi said, our sister will become a widow if Jayadrath is killed. And she will cry all her life in separation from the husband. So we should not kill him. Draupadi said we should let Jayadrath go alive. Bhim and Arjuna wanted to kill. Now what to do? Shastra says for a Kshatriya, dishonor is worse than death. So then Bhim and Arjuna, they decided, we will not kill Jayadrath because Draupadi is saying we should not kill him. But at the same time, we will not let him go. We will insult him. So they decided to do a very special haircut for Jayadrath. Instead of having one shikha, they made panchashika. Shikhas coming all over his hair from all directions. And they decided, we will also do his mustache and beard. But not like the way they do in a proper, gents salon or a hair salon in a proper place. They did it very different. They said, we will take off his mustache and we will take off his beard. But we will take it only half. So from here, he didn't have a mustache. And from here, he had. So if you see him from here, you will think he has. But when you see him from here, he doesn't have a mustache. Similarly, for the beard, he had it on one side and he didn't have it on the other. And they let him go like this. Imagine, how can Jayadrath face anyone? He has beard on one side, mustache on the other side, and hair all in pony cut and tied in different ways. So he was really horribly insulted. He took insult. Of course, for someone who's humble, there's no insult. But Jayadrath's false ego was completely plundered at this point. And he became so angry because better you just kill me, Jayadrath would have thought. Now you let me go and you insult me. I can't even show my face to anyone. I have to either take my beard and mustache off or I have to wait for it to grow for many, many days. It's quite insulting for a Kshatriya. So he was insulted like this. Now, Jayadrath thought, this is too much. I will now take revenge. Why are we saying this katha from Mahabharata? Please attentively hear. Jayadrath became so angry that he did very hard austerities to please Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. To please Lord Shiva, Jayadrath did very severe austerities. And as he did austerities, very hard tapasyas, Lord Shiva appeared to Jayadrath. And he said, oh, Jayadrath, you can ask for a boon. Who's saying? Lord Shiva is saying to Jayadrath, because Jayadrath was very sincere in his austerities. So Lord Shiva appeared. And he told Jayadrath, you ask for a benediction. Jayadrath said, give me the boon that I can kill these Pandavas. Lord Shiva said, I can't give you that boon. I can't give you that boon. But I can give you the boon that in the battle, you can hold them at bay. You can control them for one whole day. Benediction I can give you. You can hold them at bay, which means you can hold them for one whole day without being killed by them. This I can give you. You can, through your army and through your power, you can do this. Jayadrath said, yes, but give me something more. If I can't kill the Pandavas, give me the benediction that they can kill me. They cannot kill me. I can't be killed by them. Lord Shiva said, yes, I can give you that benediction. If someone cuts your head will become attached to the neck back again. This benediction I can give you. Then Lord Shiva added, but let me add a clause. You want to kill the Pandavas? You can kill them. They want to kill you? They can kill you. Because if your head is cut, the head will be joined back again. But however, I'll add a clause here. You will die only if your father, O Jayadrath, your father throws your head down. Jayadrath said, my father will never throw my head down to the ground. He will never do that. So you can give that, no problem. Lord Shiva said, good, I will just add this clause. Lord Shiva told Narada Muni, look, I have given boons to asuras like Ravana and now given boons to people like Jayadrath who are fighting the devotees of the Lord. I am so contaminated, Lord Shiva is speaking. Narad Muni, in return, he said, oh, Lord Shiva, you are so humble. You are so humble. You're only finding faults in yourself. But I will tell you now a counter argument to all these things that you have said. whenever you give a boon, O Lord Shiva, it looks as if it's waterproof, which means there's no way to penetrate. But you always leave a loophole for some leak. And he explained, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there was a plan of the Chakravyuha, which means you trap Yudhishthir Maharaj in a wheel formation. Why trap Yudhishthir Maharaj? Because if you trap Yudhishthir Maharaj, they know the battle will be over. They will win because Yudhishthir Maharaj is the leader of the camp. So if you capture and you kill him in a wheel formation in such a way that he can't escape that wheel military formation, it's called as the Chakravyuha. If someone enters, they have to fight everyone before they leave because it's a very strong, complicated military formation. So they decided, the Kauravas had decided on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to put Yudhishthir Maharaj through a Chakravyuha, and in this way the battle will end, they will win. There was only one person who knew how to counteract this Chakravyuha, and that is Arjun. So Jayadrath, because he had the benediction from Lord Shiva that he could hold the Pandavas at bay for one whole day, Jayadrath decided that I will fight Arjun. And because Arjun is the only person who knows how to break through a Chakravyuha, I will hold Arjun to the side for one whole day. And the Kauravas can take Yudhishthir Maharaj in a Chakravyuha. And they can kill Yudhishthir Maharaj and the battle will end. But however, this planning that the Kauravas had made, it backfired. This plan failed. Because they thought there was only one person who knew about the Chakravyuha, how to break the Chakravyuha, that is Arjun. But there was another person, another warrior on the other end, on the Pandava end, who knew something about the Chakravyuha. And that was Abhimanyu, the son of Arjun. He knew, but he knew only little. How is that? Actually, when Arjuna married Subhadra, and when she was pregnant with Abhimanyu in her womb, Arjun was speaking to Subhadra about Chakravyuha. He was speaking about battle strategies. You know, men end up speaking to women things that are always there in their mind. Not necessarily it may excite a woman or may interest a woman. The man will talk what is there in his mind. So Arjuna, in his mind, what is there? Chakravyuha. So he's sitting and talking to Subhadra about the military formation, the complexity of a Chakravyuha. And naturally, Subhadra, she's not interested. So she's listening and she dozed off. But Abhimanyu in the womb was listening. So he listened till the point where Arjuna described how to enter the Chakravyuha. But as Arjuna was describing, he saw that Subhadra has dozed off to sleep. So he just disconnected the conversation there. So Arjun, who was speaking about the Chakravyuha, had plans of speaking about how to enter and how to exit the Chakravyuha. But now because he saw that Subhadra had dozed off, he didn't speak about how to exit and break through that military formation. So Abhimanyu in the womb, this innocent, is everyone understanding and listening? So Abhimanyu in the womb, he had heard from Arjun on the formation of the Chakravyuha and how to enter a Chakravyuha. But unfortunately, he didn't know how to break out of a Chakravyuha. This is why I said he knew something about it, but he didn't know the complete way to get out. So now, as the Kauravas had planned, many Maharathis, they started making the formation and they threw Yudhishthir Maharaj into the Chakravyuha. When this was happening and Jayadrath had held Arjun at bay because he had that benediction from Lord Shiva that he could do that. So Arjun is the only one who can break in and Yudhishthir Maharaj is in the Chakravyuha now. Now what happened? They didn't know Abhimanyu knew how to break through. So the young, powerful, chivalrous Abhimanyu, he actually broke through the Chakravyuha formation. But he didn't know how to exit. And many, many Maharathis like Karna, like Duryodhan, like Dushasan, they broke Kshatriya moral etiquette of fighting. And they mercilessly, they killed the young Abhimanyu because he didn't know how to get out. He didn't know how to get out of the Chakravyuha. And it is because of Abhimanyu's sacrifice that he saved the entire war. Without him, Yudhishthir Maharaj would have been killed. The war would have been finished. The Kauravas would have won. So it was Abhimanyu who sacrificed, who entered the Chakravyuha, although he didn't know how to exit because he had heard from his father. And the Kauravas mercilessly started fighting, and then the war, which would have gone on the side as victory for the Kauravas, was saved. At the end of the day, now what happened? Arjuna, he discovered that Abhimanyu, his son, had been killed. Arjuna felt very, very, very sad, betrayed actually, how they could do to a 16-year-old child as Abhimanyu. He who knew how to enter a Chakravyuha, how merciless they could be to kill him in the Chakravyuha and not let him come out. So when Arjuna got to know that this is what Jayadrath did, he held me here so that my son could be murdered there, Arjuna took a vow that I will kill Jayadrath before the sun sets tomorrow, or else I will jump on the fire, the pyre. I will collect wood, I will set it on fire, and I will enter it, and I will kill myself. This vrat, this promise, Arjuna had taken, because it was Jayadrath who was the cause of. Now Jayadrath had settled scores because he was caught by Arjun during in Kamivan that we described before, when he was trying to kidnap Draupadi. So Jayadrath now settled scores by being the catalyst, by being the main agent for the killing of Arjuna's son Abhimanyu. So now next day, it was the day when Arjuna had promised, before the sun sets, I will kill Jayadrath. The Kauravas were super smart in this regard, or crooked, we could say. What did they do? They made miles and miles of soldier armies, and then they put Jayadrath behind, which means Arjun had to now fight through so many thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of soldier, individual soldier armies. And then he will reach Jayadrath. So it's possible that either he may not be able to win over all of them, and Arjuna may die, or even if he wins over all of them, it'll be sundown, because all day will go in just fighting these soldiers. And because Jayadrath has not even come face to face with Arjun by then, and Arjuna's word has gone betrayed, or let's say it's turned false, then Arjuna will have to kill himself. He has to jump into fire, right? The Kauravas made such sinister plan. And guess what? Arjuna spent all day fighting all these soldiers one after another. And finally he reached Jayadrath. And when he was about to kill Jayadrath, there was a loud blowing of the conch shell. That the sun is down, the sun is setting, it's day over. Arjuna realized, I had not fulfilled my vow that I will kill Jayadrath before the sun sets, so I must kill myself. Arjuna made a big pile of wood, and he climbed on top of it, and he picked up an arrow to shoot at the pile of wood so that it can set on fire and he will burn. As Arjuna was preparing this pyre of his departure, Jayadrath came there to instigate and ignite Arjun's anger. He started saying, "Wow, wonderful, Jai. How wonderful. You're going to burn in front of everyone. You're keeping your word." He started clapping. Suddenly at that time, there was sunshine. There was bright sky and the sun was up there. Krishna had made a trick. Krishna used his Sudarshan Chakra to temporarily cover the sun, so that it seems that it is sundown, so that Jayadrath will come face to face in front of Arjun, that because it's already sundown and Arjun has lost his word, Jayadrath will come face to face. So that's exactly what happened. Krishna, with his Sudarshan Chakra, covered the sun, and Jayadrath came face to face in front of Arjun. Now Krishna told Arjun, "It's still day. I covered the sun with my Sudarshan Chakra so that everyone else thinks that it's end of the day, the sun is down, and Jayadrath will come face to face. Now I have taken the Sudarshan Chakra back. Actually, the sun is still up there. Kill him." So Jayadrath is face to face with Arjun. That same arrow that Arjuna had used to set the wood, pile of woods on fire, that same arrow Arjuna used to shoot at Jayadrath. Jayadrath was not celebrating anymore. The arrow went straight to cut off the head of Jayadrath. Now, what actually happened is, Lord Shiva has given the benediction. If the head falls to the ground, then the head will come back, right? The head will get attached. So, of course, Arjuna doesn't know about it. But it's inconceivable, really inconceivable, how Lord Shiva worked in this regard. Arjuna shot the arrow, which went through the neck of Jayadrath and, you know, took his head off. And at a distance, far away, there was Jayadrath's father. Jayadrath's father, now it was evening time, Jayadrath's father was offering oblation to the sun god. He was offering his sandhya prayers. He was offering water to Suryadev. And he was having his eyes closed and he was Suryaya Nama, Bhaskaraya Nama, Adityaya Nama. He was offering prayers to the sun god. And he had his eyes closed because he was just chanting mantras. Now this arrow of Arjun, which went through the neck of Jayadrath, took the head of Jayadrath in the palms of his father. And the father, as he's chanting and offering water, he didn't realize. He suddenly felt something very big fell into his hand and he opened his eyes and he just dropped it to the floor thinking, what is this? Without even realizing that it was actually the head of his own son. So Lord Shiva was instrumental in actually killing Jayadrath with this benediction that you will die only when your head is dropped by your father through his own palms. So in this way, Narad Muni, he describes to Lord Shiva that it seems as if you're giving boons to the demons, but you're always giving bones with loopholes in them so that they can be destroyed and the devotees can win. That is how merciful you are, O Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is very, very kind. Very, very, very kind. So much more can be said about Lord Shiva. But today is the day of Shivaratri. Today is a very, very auspicious day. We offer our prayers. We offer our energy, our vocal capacity, our mental faculty in remembering the beautiful, wonderful pastimes of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is most powerful. Through Tattva Vichar, we saw that there are three names for Lord Shiva. And through Rasa Vichar, we saw how he is the best among devotees. He is always thinking himself to be the lowest. He is always so humble. And yet at the same time, as Ashutosh, he's so compassionate. Even if demons come to him, he's giving them boons. But it seems he's taking sides with them. But through the story we saw, he's leaving a loophole. He's leaving a leak through which the demons can be destroyed. And ultimately, the Supreme Lord and his devotees can win. Sometimes people even get bewildered when pastimes like Lord Ramchandra worshipping Lord Shiva comes into picture. There are sections in the other sections in the other editions of Ramayana, like the Adhyatma Ramayana, etc., even in Goswami Tulsidas Ji's Ramayana, there are sections where just before crossing the ocean, Lord Ramachandra, he prays to Lord Shiva. And people get bewildered by this. They think that actually Lord Shiva is greater. But no, when the Supreme Lord Sri Ramachandra performs Naravat Leela, human-like pastimes, he takes shelter of Lord Shiva. Because for the Supreme Lord, the devotees are greater than him. Ye me bhakta jana partha, na me bhaktascha te jana, bhakta namcha ye bhakta, te me bhakta tamamata. In the Adi Puran, Krishna has told Arjun that those who worship my devotees, they are very dear to me. So Krishna himself, as Ramachandra, when he comes, he also worships the best among devotees as Lord Shiva. So when Lord Ramachandra worshipped Lord Shiva, he called the linga as Rameshwar Mahadev. Rameshwar Mahadev. Rameshwar. So the human beings around, all the residents, different species, they said, oh, Ramasya Ishwaraha iti Rameshwara. Oh, Lord Shiva is the Ishwara of Ramachandra. So the demigods manifested. No. Rameshwara means as worshipable is Ram, so worshipable is Ishwara, Lord Shiva. So the humans and other associates, when they saw Ram worshipping Lord Shiva, they said, Shiva is higher and Ram is the devotee. But the demigods appeared and said, no, both are equal. Lord Shiva himself from the linga, he couldn't tolerate. So he came out. He said, no. Ramaha yasya Ishwaraha sa. Which means, I am Rameshwar, meaning he whose Ishwara, master, is Ram. So in this way, Lord Shiva reconciles that I am the devotee and Ramchandra is my Lord. So you can see sometimes the Supreme Lord does that. Even Krishna, after marrying Rukmini, when they wanted a son, Krishna and Rukmini, they worshipped Shiva and they got Pradyumna as the son. So this may bewilder Janasamanya, people in general, but we can always see Lord Shiva very humble, giving shelter to even demons, even to ghosts who have no hope. drinking poison for the sake of mankind, coming down to serve as Adi Shankaracharya for the Lord, as Hanuman, he's ready to have his tail on fire, as Advaita Acharya, he's ready to invoke the Supreme Lord in this world, as Madhvacharya, he's ready to come with complete Shakti, and yet at the same time, as Rudra, he's ready to destroy, as Shambhu, he's ready to create, and as Gopeshwar Mahadev, he's eternally sitting and chanting Japa with Ganga Devi on his head as the greatest Vaishnava. So in this way, Lord Shiva is holding the highest pedestal of respect for all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas are very dear to Lord Shiva. When Sanatan Goswami Pad was sitting and chanting Japa, Lord Shiva left Kailas and he came and settled down there just to hear the Japa of Sanatan Goswami at Govardhan. And that deity, even till this very day, is called Chakreshwar Mahadev. He who manifested at Chakratirtha, just to hear the Japa of Sanatan Goswami. So in this way, just like the Gaudiya Vaishnavas or the Vaishnav community have utmost respect and reverence for Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva himself has utmost respect for all the devotees of the Lord. So in this way, on this most auspicious occasion of Shivaratri, we express our gratitude to Shiva and Mother Parvati for turning our Bahirmukh face towards the lotus feet of Brajendra Nandan Shamasundar, Rasik Shekhar, Radharaman Shri Krishna. Gauru Prabhanande, Hari Hari Bo, Vancha Kalpatru, Kripasundu, Yayavacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
Hare Krishna. Our glories to Prabhupada. Thank you so much. So beautiful section, class, Prabhu. Very beautiful. So I'll not take much time. So Vinita Gandharvika, you can go forward.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. What a beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for such a detailed class and at the end, nice pastimes. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhu. You have been speaking from 1.5 hours. I was thinking that, do you have time for questions or what do you think, Prabhuji?
I think today is the day of relishment, so we will not take questions today. we have heard and meditated upon Lord Shiva, so we will keep our meditation going. Maybe at another time we can take some questions.
No worries, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Very detailed class and nice pastimes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Very grateful to you. I would like to offer my obeisances to you and all.
1 minute, Mataji. Prabhuji, if you have just 1 minute, if you can answer one thing, that there is some conflict, that Shivaratri is actually the marriage of Lord Shiva or Shivaratri is when Shiva drank Kalakuta. Only if this you can answer, with that we can end up.
It is the marriage. It is the reunion of Mother Parvati and Lord Shiva.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there is a long history to that. But maybe at another time.
sure, Prabhuji. Definitely. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Vinita Gandharvika Mataji, please go ahead.
Thank you, Prabhuji, once again for such a beautiful class. We look forward again for your association. We are eagerly waiting for next class of yours, Prabhuji. So fortunate to hear on this special day, glories of Lord Shiva from you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. I would like to offer my obeisances to you and all the Vaishnavas assembled on the call. Vancha Kalpataru Bhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patidanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Nama Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindi Ki Jai Lord Shiva Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai His Grace Amarendra Prabhu Ki Jai
Ananta Koti Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai Vinita Gandharvika Mataji Ki Jai
Amarendra Prabhu Ki Jai. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.